Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Happy New Year, Cresticle.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you as well, Martin.
Yeah, welcome to this edition, this special New Year edition of Nullpois, the Eurovision fan podcast with myself, Martin, and Laura. We are two UK mates who absolutely love the Eurovision Song Contest, but we don't know everything about it, and we're trying to learn, and that's what we've been doing through the whole of 2022, and we thought this is the episode where we take the opportunity to look back at some of the things that we did in 2022.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, looking back at it, there's a lot of things we have actually done, hasn't there been, Martin? There's lots of things we've done.
Well, we did some things for the first time since COVID.
Yeah.
And one of them was go to a Eurovision Song Contest, which was, to be honest, at the time, I don't think we even thought it would be possible till, you know, a few months before. We really didn't think we'd be able to go because we'd been, having to disappoint ourselves for so many years because of COVID. But we did get to go, and you're going to hear plenty from that in our first little look back at some of the things that happened. And we'll start with the semi-finals.
Yeah, indeed. And I think it was just great that, like you say, we were able to go, and we loved going to Turin, and it was great just meeting these Eurovision fans. You know, the Eurovision Village is a great place to go and do that, and that is what we did. And we were there. If you remember, we were there for each of the semi-finals. So here are some of the people we spoke to after semi-final one.
It was quite predictable, actually. It was nothing surprising. But I really love Norway this year, so I was quite happy to see that result.
Is there anyone who didn't get through, who you wanted to get through?
Austria. Austria. We really like it.
We like it because it was the song most animated. No, animated in that moment, because all the songs were so sad, so yeah. This was so added fun. That's why we like Spain.
Where are you from?
From France.
From France. And what did you think of the semi-final tonight?
It was quite a great show, but I must admit I was a bit disappointed with the results. Some of the countries I wanted to see in the final weren't allowed to go there.
Like who?
Like Latvia. So it was a funny song. The public didn't vote for it. Well, it's part of the game.
Hi, I'm Lara. I'm from Belgium.
You're from Belgium, but you don't have the Belgian flag around you.
No. Okay. I've got the Latvian flag around me right now.
And that means you're a big fan of Latvia. So how are you feeling right now? Because Latvia didn't get through.
Not great. I'm at my lowest right now, but it's okay.
What did you like about Latvia so much?
Just like their energy. They're really cool guys. Like, they put in so much work. It's like a great song with a great message. Like, it's kind of like fun, but also like really meaningful. So, yeah.
And why do you think they didn't get through?
Because Europe is scared of pussy.
Right, yeah.
The pussy was too powerful.
The pussy was too powerful, wasn't it? She was so distraught as well, wasn't she, that Latvia didn't get through.
Yeah.
You'll hear some of those voices from semi-final two that we spoke to in the Eurovision Village in just a second. Turin was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was such a wonderful city, so welcoming and just so alive with Eurovision and music everywhere you went.
It was, and I think what was fun was that because it's not a huge place, you could kind of feel like you were going about and you were chancing upon things with Eurovision, and that's kind of what happened with the next bit that we're going to introduce, which is us speaking to City Zenny, Latvia, who apparently the pussy was just too powerful for. But
powerful.
We spoke to these guys, and this was just a chance thing. This was not something we'd set up in advance. I just saw that they were going to be performing on the square in Turin, and we thought we'd just go along and try and grab an interview with them. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, we did. And this was just after they'd been knocked out of semi-final one.
Yeah.
And we heard tell that this live music was going to be happening. And we thought, we'll go there. We headed to this piazza in the middle of Turin to enjoy the music and then hopefully grab a chat with someone from the band.
Hello, my name is Giannis, and I am a part of the band Citizani, who represented Latvia in this year's Eurovision Song Contest with our song Eat Your Salad.
Well, can I say both congratulations and commiserations? An amazing performance. Yeah. I love the song. Oh, we love the song. But how are you feeling today?
Actually, I think we're feeling great because for us, the goal was to do the most that we could to the best degree that we could do it, right? To the best quality of the best quality that we could do it in. And I think that we did everything correctly and everything went just fine. The results is something that we just can't influence. And I don't think that we want the fact that we're not in the finals to ruin our Eurovision experience. So that's why we're kind of still going for it. We're still doing gigs, meeting up with people, and trying to be as entertaining as we can, because that's what Eurovision is about this year, I think. Letting everybody have a little bit of escapism from whatever's going on in the world.
What was it like getting to perform that on the Eurovision stage? Because you had loads of energy. You looked like you were loving it.
Still have loads of energy. It was awesome. It was awesome. That is the biggest stage in the world, if you count by the amount of audience there. And it felt great. It felt right like at home. And I guess the only shame that I'm having is that we won't get to do it again this year. But who knows? Maybe next year. Yeah.
Can we address the word pussy?
Oh, that went fine and dandy, didn't it?
Can you talk me through all the conversations that happened around whether you were allowed to use that word? Because there was a lot of like, will they, won't they?
Yeah. So we already initially knew that it's not going to be allowed starting from the national selections. It was pretty clear from the get-go that, yeah, this is not going to fly. Then we tried figuring out what to do with that place. We asked actually our followers to kind of give us suggestions. A lot of suggestions were given, putting in a cat sound, yada 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 yada. But then we decided that the best way how to show our stance towards it is leave it empty and let the people fill it in if they fill in the blanks, really, if they feel like it. And that went great. I think it was one of the greatest Eurovision moments for Latvia, for sure. Yeah,
we loved it. We were watching it in Eurovision Village. Everyone was shouting it, which is great.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what the atmosphere is like backstage at a Eurovision? Because it's something that I will never experience. Like, what's it like?
During the rehearsal days and everything, it's really fine. I think, and it's fun. Everybody's kind of having fun. But then on the day of the semis and the jury concert, oh gosh, like the tension is palpable. it's high up there. Though still, the moment when everybody comes off stage after their performance and they're just shouting their asses off and you can see that they've had so much fun. I think that's something that we will never forget, because the only thing that remains with us, it's not the place, it's not the song even eventually, right? It goes away. It's only the feeling. And I think that the feelings for everybody, at least in semi-one, were awesome, to say the least. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on an amazing performance again.
Oh, thank you.
We loved it. We really did.
Can we ask, what do you think about the UK, by the way, this year?
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts on the UK?
He's the best vocalist of this year. There's no doubt about it. One of my favorite songs, one of my favorite performances. I think he's going to do really, really good. Really, really good. He has the song, he has the vocals for it. He has the energy, he has the charisma. He looks like a Jesus with a beard, right? So, and he is an awesome overall person, right? He's just decent. He's so approachable. And I think that's also one of the things that maybe some of the acts should learn, that you have to be approachable. It's a pop music thing, and pop music is from the people, by the people, and for the people in the end of the day. And I think Sam is doing a great job at it. I loved that stunt with the phone number that he just sent out. And please call me and let's have a chat. I was like, Amazing, amazing. Yeah.
Who are you rooting for the final? Who do you want to win, or who do you enjoy being backstage with?
Yeah, I think from our side, the core delegation that we want to win this year is Ukraine. They have the song, they have the performance, they have everything. And additionally to that, it would be a beautiful Eurovision moment if we would stand up for something that we think is wrong in the world at the moment. On the other hand, I really hope that the other artists who have great songs this year and who are fighting for a chance to win Eurovision will not take offense at it, because in the end of the day, this is more important. Yeah, that music should be about something, and yeah.
There you go. The lovely Yanis from Citizenny. Wasn't he lovely?
Bless him. It was so nice. And it was good to...
I wish they'd got through.
I know. It would have been so good, wouldn't it? It was so good to see him so positive, even though they got knocked out. He was in such a good mood and was just there kind of enjoying the atmosphere. And there was a big old scrum around him at the end, wasn't there? He was
we got in early, didn't we?
We did. Back to the reaction now that we got from the Eurovision Village. You were hearing this just a few moments ago when we were there at the semi-final one. You heard the thoughts of fans after that first semi-final. Now, here are a few people chatting to us after semi-final number two.
My name is Sonia and I'm from Switzerland.
And what did you make of the semi-final tonight?
I have to say I in general liked it, but the results is not in... Yeah, I didn't like it, to be honest.
Tell us more. What didn't you like about the results?
Well, in my opinion, for example, Israel or San Marino were much better than some other artists. And I think it's not about the music anymore at all. So I'm a little bit pissed, to be honest.
That's fine.
Really?
It annoys me, yeah.
Really? Now we know who is going through to the final. Who do you want to win?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Probably, according to the standings right now, I would probably say Australia.
Really? Why?
Maybe. Because I think his voice was very nice. His song was good. Like, yeah, I think, yeah, maybe. Because I really enjoyed San Marino. In general, I would say San Marino, but they are not participating anymore. So Australia would be my favorite.
What did you think about the semi-final?
It was amazing and really surprising, according to the winners of the second semi-final.
And where are you from?
From Poland.
From Poland, okay.
That was really surprising.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, we are very proud.
But it's a real shock that we are in the final.
Well, did you not think you'd get through?
No. Oh. Because our song is too slow and not too dancey.
But they seem to like that this year. A lot of slow songs got through.
So.
This is the first time from what?
From
5 years that we are in the final.
Oh, so you must be very happy.
Yeah!
So, who do you think is going to win overall?
I think it's gonna be Italy once again.
Okay.
And I'm crossing for Lithuania.
Lithuania?
It's Ukraine.
Okay, lots of different ones. Okay, well, thank you very much. Good luck to Poland.
I think they were greater than Tuesday. I really loved Poland and also other countries, of course, and a big fan also of Spain, but it would be on Saturday, so I don't know. It was pretty fun, yeah.
Whereabouts are you from?
I'm from Italy. I'm from Turin. It's my town, so I'm really, really excited because it's such a big event, and I'm really, really proud of my country and my town.
Yeah, what's it feel like to live in a city that's hosting Eurovision?
It's amazing. Like I've never expected it was going to be here.
Yeah.
And when Italy won last year, I was so happy. And then there were so many towns in Italy were available to us Eurovision. And when my town won, I was so happy because I think Turin has got so many opportunities and it's the best town where Eurovision could have been.
And just quickly, who do you think is going to win?
I'm not sure. I'm I think maybe Ukraine, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I really love the song, and I think also the situation will help to get them some more votes, you know, from the war and whatever. I really love also Poland, as I've already said, and I don't know, also Spain. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so the thoughts there of a few people chatting to us after the second semi-final in Turin. It seems so long ago now, doesn't it? It's so weird.
It really does.
Hearing all of this happen. And it was all this year. But yeah, goodness me, May seems like such a long time ago, doesn't it?
It does, it does. And so what we did was we went for the semi-finals to Turin. Hmm. And then we jetted, didn't we? Jetted back to the UK. And Chris, you had a little party, which I attended for the Eurovision final in your flat.
Indeed, yeah. And it's something, you know, it's a tradition I like to keep. I do like to throw a little Eurovision party. I'm sure lots of our listeners like to do the same thing, or at least attend it as well. And it was great, you know, it was lovely. And I suppose it was the first time we could feel like we could, you know, properly have it as well in 2021. Mm. Everyone together in the flat having a bit of fun. And it was so lovely, not just because the UK did so well, but I think it was great just to have everybody there experiencing Eurovision for something we couldn't really have done for quite a few years. And of course, us being the professionals that we are, and we did record an episode straight after, instantly, as soon as we got that reaction to the result. And what a result it was. So here we go. Let's remember this. This is our instant reaction when that result was announced.
Chris, how are you? Oh my God, I mean, how are you feeling?
So proud of Sam Ryder at this moment. Amazing to do so well. Come second, that's amazing. To come from double nul pois to come to second. So proud of him. And you know what? Fair enough to Ukraine. They got... can we just talk about that public vote for Ukraine? Unprecedented,
yeah,
I think.
Massive. Like, what, 400 and something or other?
That was ridiculous. Look, they're coming on the stage now with their flags. This is crazy stuff. And this is, like, very emotional just to watch this, to be honest. And good for them. And, I mean... very happy that they won. That's amazing. I mean, who do you think is going to host then? If you obviously Ukraine have won.
Yeah. Well, this is the question that's going to be asked now. I think what?
There's been rumours of Poland.
Yeah, there has been rumours of Poland. I wouldn't say no to a trip to Warsaw. That'd
no,
be all right.
Be very happy with that. That'd be all right. By the way, we're watching this as a Eurovision party. Everyone's gone suddenly silent now that we're talking.
Could you please cheer? Please cheer. Thank you very much indeed.
Look, just look at that scoreboard. United Kingdom, second. Wow, that's amazing, Martin.
Yeah, and considering that you and I made predictions about where the UK would do this year, and what I think I said 13th originally, and I think I upgraded it to 4th, but I originally said 13th. You said what, 15th?
I said 15th, then I said 7th. It looks like I've won a bet with a gentleman that was at this party. I said the UK would be top three, and he said potentially bottom. And I feel like I've won that quite convincingly.
There you go. Our reaction there to Ukraine's Eurovision win. We were a little worse for wear, weren't we?
Maybe you were, Martin. Speak for yourself.
Yes.
And it's worth saying our reaction to Ukraine's Eurovision win, but also our reaction to the UK coming second as well.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing result. I don't think I thought I would ever see that in my lifetime, considering how badly the UK had done in recent years.
Yeah, it really is such a turnaround from the year before, you know, to go from double nul pois to coming second.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Of course, the winners, though, Ukraine. Yeah. And naturally, on the podcast, we wanted to hear from Ukrainians after that win in Italy. We managed to catch up with a Ukrainian. We spoke to Marina, who is a Ukrainian Eurovision fan who actually now lives in Portugal.
This year, of course, for us, Eurovision has been different. We have a lot going on in Ukraine. These are the darkest, the toughest times. However, the contest, it brought a joy of light, a massive joy of light for us. The victory meant a lot. It brought incredible light. It's a sort of a unity for us for a moment to forget about all the horror we have been living for past 2 years and all the years ever since the Crimea has been annexed. It was beautiful. The support, a helping hands, if you will, of Europe to show us that the people, they hear us, they see us, and they support us. I mean, these are the toughest times. The contest brought a lot of joy, and we're very proud.
Can you give Laura and I a sense of what life is like back in Ukraine at the moment? I know you've still got friends there, you've still got family who are in that country. What is life like in Ukraine at the moment for people?
It's horrible. It's as if we are watching a reality show or a movie about war, except that it's not a film. It's our day to day. My brother and my father, they are in Kyiv. My dad, he passed the age, so the martial law does not apply to him. But he said, I'm sorry, this is my country. This is my city. I'm not leaving. If I can be of any help, I will be there. There is no area that is safe. There is no city that is safe. It's eastern, it's western Ukraine. It's the capital. It's sporadic bombing here and there. It's horrible.
And you were talking about watching the Eurovision and that bringing people together. Were you watching it with friends, with family? And did you have other people? Were you messaging other people who were watching it? And what was that like, that moment, when you saw Ukraine get such a huge amount of the public vote? How did that feel?
It was amazing. I watch Eurovision every year with a group of friends, with my kids. We've been watching together, everybody. We were cheering. We had our own favorites.
Yes.
Community here, Ukrainian, was cheering. We were voting. Everybody casted a lot of votes. My son was there voting from his phone. He got a phone. Oh. It was brilliant. It was fantastic. I'm looking for a pink hat. I want to own a pink the Panama hat. It meant a lot for everybody, for the people inside of Ukraine, even the people, our warriors who are now in Mariupol, the toughest situation today that we have. They saw the results. It's a very strong support. It gives you this energy, I don't know, not a drive maybe. It gives you this power that you are not alone in this horrible situation, that the world hears you, that something is being done to help you. It was beautiful, and we are very thankful to Europe for doing this and supporting Ukraine. It means a lot. We are forever grateful.
And you know what? That was just so great. Thank you so much to Marina for speaking to us. It was so lovely to just hear from a Ukrainer how much it really means to them. Because I think the problem is sometimes people kind of belittle, you know, Eurovision and what a Eurovision win means. But I think that showed just how much it really does mean, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could hear the emotion in her voice, in Marina's voice, as we were talking to her. A real genuine pleasure to have that conversation. This is Nol Pois, by the way. We are just taking a look back at some of our favourite bits, some of the best bits that we think happened on the podcast through 2022. And we've kind of taken you through in chronological order, really, because we've taken being at the semi-finals, speaking to City Zenny, our reaction to the final, the Ukrainian reaction, and then it was kind of looking ahead, wasn't it? We know now that Liverpool is the host city, but we didn't for a long time, and there was a lot of question marks. So what we decided to do, because there was like, who's going to host it? Which city is it going to be? So we rounded up UK Eurovision fans from right across the country, and we asked them to tell us why their city should host in 2023.
That's right. Annoyingly, none of them was from Liverpool.
Hi, I'm Hannah, and I'm from Glasgow.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm from Newcastle.
Hi, I'm Jill. I'm from Sheffield, born in Barnsley, but I've got a rather unusual take on this, where we should host next year.
And where's that?
Manchester.
Hey! Hi, I'm Kevin, and I'm backing Aberdeen's bid for Eurovision 2023.
Okay, so four cities all competing against each other for this fictional crown of glory on this episode of Nol Pois. So, Hannah, let's start with you. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to pitch your city and tell me why you think that Glasgow should host the Eurovision. So your time, Hannah, starts now.
Well, I would say Eurovision should be in Glasgow because you just start off with the movie and that's where it was, and it would be a great sort of combination to look back and compare it. as well as Glasgow has transport links to pretty much everywhere in the UK, whereas some sort of smaller cities don't have as much. It's got two airports, two train station, main train stations in Glasgow. Obviously not as much as London, but hey-ho.
And that's your time up. That's your time up. Very, very good.
That was good. That was good, Hannah. But Paul, can you do better? Let's get 30 seconds on the clock. And Paul, go.
Hi there. So I think Eurovision should be in Newcastle because, again, it's got great transport links. It meets the criteria, which I think is really important. Newcastle's got a reasonable-sized arena. It's in a great location. It's close to the seaside. There's some amazing places that Euroclub could be held in. It's got, I can just imagine, some great backdrops for the postcards on the quayside with the Tyne Bridge. And it's quite unique. It's not just... It's got a picture about it, and when you walk there,
that is your time up, Paul. That's your time up. All this
we're
is getting
cruel about this.
We are. This is getting very exciting. Okay, over to you, Jill, representing Manchester. Your time starts now.
Okay, amazing musical heritage, as we all know. The AO Arena has a capacity of 20,000. It's bang in the centre of the UK. It's Manchester, served by a major airport with great road and trail links, hotel Airbnb options numerous, large Ukrainian population, which I think is interesting to consider. The city is vibrant, it's multicultural, it can provide an amazing Euro village. We visit at festival times, Halloween, Christmas, and they know how to throw a party.
There we go. Oh, you did very well there, Jill. That was great. That's your 30 seconds.
Excellent stuff. Now, finally, last but not least, we've got Kevin. Right, Kevin, pitch us Aberdeen.
Yeah, Aberdeen has got the perfect venue to stage Eurovision because we've got everything under one roof. Not only do we have the arena, we've got the exhibition halls inside the arena as well for the press centre. We've got 2,000 hotel beds within a 10-minute drive. So if you've just come off a five-hour flight from Azerbaijan, you don't want to spend 2 hours on a bus going back and forth. Aberdeen is a small city. We can get the entire population of the city involved in the city centre. Plenty of space for Euro clubs, Euro villages.
And that is your 30 seconds. I'm being very cruel.
Very cruel.
I'm being very strict, but very well done to the four of you. That was very good. Hannah, let me go back to you. A lot of people talking about Glasgow at the moment. Does seem to be the bookies' favourite. What do you think it is about Glasgow that hasn't just captured the imagination? The people in Glasgow want the contest there. Why do you think so many people outside the city are saying Glasgow should be the one to host?
I think it's just because it's a wee bit different, because of automatically people just assumed capital city, London. Glasgow's not even the capital of Scotland, so it's a bit different. It is the biggest city, but not the capital. It's got an amazing arena. I think it's only 14,000, so it's not as big as Manchester. But I think even just that wee bit smaller, it creates a better atmosphere as it is. Glasgow is a great city. You've got the Clyde, you've got lots of old and modern buildings, lots of history. So it's a wonderful city. That lots of people haven't visited for, maybe want the chance to now.
You had more time for your pitch there. You were getting more extra pitching in. Jill, I just want to come to you and the fact that you don't actually live in Manchester and yet you pitch for Manchester. What's that about?
Well, I'm thinking what's best for the contest, not following any hometown loyalties. If I was, I would be pitching heavily for Sheffield. But I actually think that Manchester has got everything that this contest needs to host, an amazing worldwide event, which it's turning out to be, isn't it? It's not just Europe anymore. So let's showcase the North. We're always talking about levelling up. Let's get away from the South, away from London. Birmingham's already done it. Let's go, Manchester. Beautiful, vibrant city.
Kevin, let me ask you how you felt when you heard that the UK was going to be hosting. What went through your mind when that announcement happened a few days ago?
Well, basically, I've been to 23 Eurovision Song Contests across Europe, from Moscow to Istanbul to Tel Aviv to all over the place. And I didn't think in a million years it would come to the UK, because obviously it's always no poids that we normally get. And the fact that there was rumours it was coming to the UK, well, the first thing I instantly thought of, being selfish here, is we just built a brand new arena here in Aberdeen. Why shouldn't it just come here? But it's never going to happen again in my lifetime, unless, of course, we do what Ireland did and win it three times on the trot. But it's just absolutely amazing that all the places I've travelled to in Europe, and it could take place within 4 miles of where I'm sitting right now.
Paul, to you as well, your thoughts on it happening in the UK. Did you ever think this was going to happen in the past, given the past few performances? Well, not the most recent one, maybe, but before then?
I guess not. It's quite surreal. I mean, I can just vaguely remember Katrina winning in 97. And obviously, I mean, I travel a lot in Europe anyway. And, it's gone to some great cities, especially Kiev. But, yeah, it's quite surreal and in complete disbelief that actually, yeah, it is going to happen in the UK. Even given what people were saying, there was almost that little bit at the end, that cruel little bit that actually, yeah, we thought it was going to be in the UK. But actually, no, it's not.
Paul there alongside Hannah and Jill and Kevin, none of whom, we should say, got their wish, of course, for Eurovision to be hosted where they live.
We didn't see it coming, did we?
Absolutely not. We did not see it coming at all. Oh, that was really good fun. Yeah. I really enjoyed looking back at 2022, and I'm really excited for 2023.
I am as well, and I think it just shows it's crazy, like, how much actually did happen in this year. So much, I genuinely, if you had said to me at the beginning of this year, the UK will come second and also it will be hosted in the UK, I don't think I would have believed you at all.
No, I think I would have laughed in your face. I would have laughed in your face. Looking ahead to 2023 then, and we can finish the podcast by doing this. What are your hopes for Eurovision in the year ahead?
There are some personal ones in that I really hope we are both deeply involved.
With Eurovision, that
yeah,
is.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah. sorry, did you just mean not Eurovision? I'm assuming you mean Eurovision hopes.
No, I did mean Eurovision.
I'm sure you just don't mean like peace on earth and, goodwill to all men. Okay, so this is what I hope. I'm not going to be too optimistic and assume the UK will get in the same position as it did this year, still technically. I don't know if we'll still do as well. I would like the UK to be in the top 10. I think that would still be really good for the UK. I would like us to, I guess, show the world that we do really care about Eurovision, and also make sure that the Ukraine is involved in a substantial amount so that we feel like we've done our duty, we've carried it for Ukraine and allowed them to shine. I think that's it, really. I want the UK to still do fairly well. I'm not under any impression that we're going to win it this year. I mean, who knows? We don't know who's going to be part of it. We don't know who our entry is. But I would like the UK to do, still do well, still be on the left of that leaderboard, top 10, and really, really show that we can put on an amazing show.
I think I definitely agree with you. It would be good to see the UK again. I don't think anywhere near where we did before. Second. I think
second is quite. For the UK, we're punching. We're definitely punching there.
But let's aim for let's aim for that top 10. I do think that is achievable.
Yeah, I think
If we do if we do everything right, and I'm hoping a same thing as well, that we can do Ukraine proud. That would be really nice for 2023. Yeah. That'd be great. And just for the concert to go ahead, that would be good as well, wouldn't it? That'd be fine.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Thank you so much for listening through 2022. It's been really, really wonderful to have you along. We couldn't do this without you. I know, Chris, you've got some thoughts that you'd like to impart.
Yes, well, it's not thoughts from me, but thank you very much to everybody who's been listening to us this year. I'd just like to say, you're amazing, guys. Thank you very much for tuning into us. A couple of thoughts from people. thank you to Jem, one of our patron members, who said from our previous episode, where you remember our Christmas quiz, Martin? By the way, are we, what's happening with the Christmas quiz? Are we doing that question?
We're still in limbo. We're going to have to do it next time, aren't we? Because we've put this together far too late in the day. So
sorry, I thought I'd bring that up. Time. What's going on? We said we were going to do a tiebreaker question. All right, I've just come back from the pub and, bless Martin, he's up late. This is all kind of chaotic Eurovision energy. This is very much crossing over to somebody and Eurovision, and the satellite link hasn't worked and we're just doing the best we can. But Jem says, Martin, that question was horrific.
This is my biblical question.
I was getting serious Scrooge energy from it. Thank you, Jem. Cress is clearly the outright winner. No. Also, happy Christmas to my favourite ever podcast. I think he brings it back at the end.
Yeah,
there.
you're back on side, Jem, to be honest, with the,
but
the
also,
last comment.
I think thank you. I agree with you, Jem. I am clearly the outright winner. Also, thank you to Richard, another Patreon, who says Radio 2 Popmaster and Nilpoor Christmas quiz on the same day.
It's so like all your clearly, Christmases came at once. On Christmas day
as well. So if you do want to join us on Patreon, as we've always said you can do, it's just patreon.com/Nilpoor. And if you want to get in touch, there's loads of ways. Nilpoorpodcast@gmail.com, Nilpoorpodcast on Instagram, and @PoorNull on Twitter.
Hey, she's done it right.
We're gonna have to get a mastodon at some point, aren't we? But
I reckon so. Right, we will go off into 2023 and
cheerio.
Make loads more Eurovision episodes for you, Nilpoor episodes for you. Hope you had a wonderful new year. We will see you very, very soon. Take care. Catch you again on the next edition of
Nilpoor.